or WCL. Crossband Mobile.
Big 4, India Mac Hotel monitoring. For IMH monitoring.
For IMH, go ahead, K4 WCL, Kilo 4 Whiskey, Charlie Lima.
Noon, sir. Thanks for reaching back out to me.
To you. Happy Memorial Day Sunday. Name here is John, Juliet Oscar Hotel, November. I am mobile in Pickens County, about 6-7 miles north of the city of Pickens on US 178. What's the name there and location?
You got John here as well, too, Juliet Oscar Hotel, November, and I'm about 4 miles outside of Cashers, North Carolina, the little town of Sapphire.
A little noisy from Sapphire this afternoon, but 100% copy. And do know that area. We almost bought a house up there by Lake Glenville. Oh, God, that was almost 10 years ago. And we haven't been up to Jackson County. Well, you might be in Transylvania County, but we haven't been up that way in a while.
Yeah, we are actually in Jackson County. We're pretty close to the Transylvania line, but a little community called Deer Run, 4 miles, about 4.5 miles from the crossroads in Cashers.
Yeah, that's a beautiful area. We looked at several homes up there and ended up buying a house in upstate South Carolina, right close to Sassafras Mountain. We're the northernmost part of Pickens, and we actually live in the Atlanta area. We come up here on weekends and holidays and pretty much any chance we get, John, to get away from metro Atlanta. And we're going to be retiring up here in just a couple of years.
Understand that. We actually grew up about 50 miles west of here in a little town called Hayesville, North Carolina. We've been up in Sapphire now 5 years since the 1st of April and retired up here, and we're really in love with it. We love the cooler temperatures for sure.
Roger, my wife is from western North Carolina. Probably about as far in North Carolina as you can get west and not be in Tennessee. She grew up in Murphy.
Hear you well. I lived over in Hayesville for 59 years and actually worked in Murphy for about 10 of those years.
Grew up in Hanging Dog. There are out off of Joe Brown Highway.
So that area as well, too. We used to go down there quite often.
Country, she still has a bunch of family there. Her mom is still living there. She's in an assisted living in Murphy. She just turned 100 back in December. And we still have some property up there. So we do still have some connections back to the Murphy area. K4WCL.
We get back over there occasionally as well to have a son that lives in Hiawassee, Georgia. So we go over there and check on him occasionally. But we're glad we're living where we're at right now. We really enjoy the neighborhood and enjoy the friends we have here. And there's a little bit of a ham community here. I'm actually a pretty new ham. Got my ticket about a month ago.
Isn't your call Kilo Juliet 4?
Call is Kilo Quebec 4, India Mike Hotel.
Makes more sense then, yeah. The FCC is dishing out Kilo Quebec 4 calls. Well, welcome to Ham Radio there, John. It's a great hobby. I've been licensed for over 25 years now. And I grew up in a ham radio family. My dad was a ham since the early 1950s. And I didn't get licensed until later on in life. Not quite as late as you. I was in my late 30s, but it's been a great hobby to be involved in.
Understand. I thought about this for a long time. Life got in the way. There were other things I had to do and make a living and whatnot. But retired now and taking advantage of some of that time. I did have a friend who was a ham that passed away about a year and a half ago, and he had tried to encourage me to get into it, and I never did do it, and finally, I guess I just chose to go ahead and do it, kind of in remembrance of him, but I've really enjoyed it since, for myself.
Hey, probably the happiest day of my dad's life, you know, maybe other than getting married or maybe having kids, was the day I called him up and said, hey, I passed my technician test, and we used to, after I upgraded to general, we used to get on HF. He lived up in the New York area. That's where I grew up. And we used to talk on HF, and yeah, we had a lot of fun being hams together. He's since moved on to become a silent key, and I do have some of his equipment, but yeah, that was a lot of fun there when Pop was alive and we could play radio together.
Oh yeah, that would be a great time. I did go ahead and test out a tested technician, and then I also passed the general in the same day. So starting to study now a little bit for the extra, so maybe in a month or so, and get a little bit more experience under my feet. I may go for that. Right now, all I have is just an HT. I've got a little ICOM 52, and I've got a little J-hook antenna hook to it, but I don't have enough elevation on it, so that probably explains why I'm a little bit scratchy your way.
Noise in the background, like I said, you're Q5 copy. No problems copying you. So very good. Congratulations on getting the general knocked out at the same time. That's a good thing to do while your brain is in study mode to get that done. I talked to a new ham yesterday on the local repeater back home. The local or the home repeater is in Gainesville, north of Gainesville, Georgia. And it's about 80 miles away from my house up here. But I can get into it, no problem. But I talked to a brand new ham. I was his third contact. KY4YB, and he told me it was a brand new ham, got licensed on May the 16th, and I'm thinking, well, why don't you have a KQ4 call? And then he told me he passed the technician, the general, and the extra, all at the same test session. So, you know, I only know one other person that's done that. I'm sure there's others, but well, very good. Yeah, you'll start spending some money when you start building your HF station there, John.
I understand. I'm looking forward to that, too. I have developed a friendship with a local ham here, and he's offered to kind of mentor me, be my Elmer a little bit, and he has some old HF equipment. When we can get a chance, I'm going to try to get some of that from him and take it on loan and just see what I like about his equipment and learn what it is I would like to have when I build my own ham shack.
Along with older equipment, you know, I have my dad's old TS-850, you know, and that's mid-90s technology. Great radio, though. You know, it's a nice, you know, it was almost top of the line for Kenwood back in the mid-90s. You know, the older radios don't quite have the bells and whistles. I don't know how old you're talking old equipment. You know, you go back to the 70s and you start having radios with maybe two final amplifiers, but the rest of the radio is solid state. I've got some vintage 1960s equipment set up in my shack. Brand name on it is Drake. They were a pretty popular brand back in the 60s and 70s. All tubes. I think it's got 20 tubes in it. And, you know, it doesn't have the fancy LED readout for the display, for the frequency. You know, none of the modern filtering, but it's a lot of fun to play with. So there's nothing wrong with putting older gear on the air.
Comment.
Yeah, I'm not really afraid of the older stuff either. I kind of got started in this by going back and doing some old tube AM radios, refurbishing those. I inherited one from my grandparents. It was an old Silvertone that was built in 1942, and it hadn't played in probably 50 years. And that was my first project. I redid all the caps in it and had to replace some tubes and everything, but got it playing again, and it's one of my prized possessions right now.
I don't know, I just jumped in the middle of this. Yeah, Drake, and let me tell you something. I know the radio you have, that was a high-end radio in, 1960, 1970. And also Drake's communication receiver is, I had a Drake R8, or R8A, big thing, about the size of one of those 1970s-style, stereo systems. But that they made top of the line equipment. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for older equipment, especially since it's easier to maintain, and in some cases easier to modify if you had to do something like that. Now what you said about licensing and exams, I tend to agree. I tell people, study for your general exam, because for the same $15, I can sit for all three exams. For example, I never had a technician's license, and I was probably only 6 questions away from getting the extra license. So, don't just study up to this point and then stop, is what I tell new hams. Heck, study the extra questions if you want to. But, yeah, it's a good hobby. There's so many aspects to it, you'll probably never exhaust it.
No, you didn't give us your name.
And it's Kilo Delta 2, Bravo November Golf.
Got it here. For jumping in there and offering up there your knowledge and wisdom. Yeah, Drake was some pretty good stuff back in the day. My dad had a TR-3. He brought it to, he didn't buy it new. He brought it into the house. 71, 72, I used to play with it quite a bit. Listening, I actually, 1972, 73, one winter afternoon up in New York, called CQ with his call sign on 10 meters and worked a guy in California. And I remember the guy in California questioning that my voice, my probably pre-puberty voice, didn't match the W2DJA call sign, and he asked me about it. And then, like an idiot, I go into the living room where my dad was sitting, probably enjoying a Scotch on the Rocks or something. Say, hey, Dad, 10 meters is open. I just worked a guy in Florida, and I thought I was not going to live to see the next day, let alone me actually having my own call sign someday. He was not real pleased with me. But, yeah, the Drake stuff is... brings back a lot of good memories for me, so let me let it burp. I got a couple more quick comments. Only had the Drake stuff a year and a half or so. Got a D-104 on it, and I've got the MN-2000 tuner, and I've also got a L-4B amplifier that I have not put online yet. I want to, John was saying, open it up, look at the caps. It has been plugged in within the last year. No smoke came out of it, so that's a good thing. But I also need to get 220 run into the shack. The current amplifiers I run are medium amplifiers, 600 watters, and I run them at 110 volts. They're solid state, and they do just fine. But anyway, all right, I'm in front of Walmart here in Pickens. John, Glenn, I'll let you guys continue on. John, congratulations. Happy hamming to you. I think you'll enjoy the hobby a lot. Meet a lot of great people, that's for sure. I'm not real well known on this repeater because I'm not up here all the time. I've made a couple of friends, though. So hopefully you'll make a bunch of friends because my ham radio friends, a lot of my ham radio friends are my real friends, too. So see you later. 73, this is K4WCL. Pickens, South Carolina, Walmart.
Hey, goodbye to you, John, and thanks for the QSO. Had a great time listening to you guys talk, and being a new ham, I have a lot to learn. I think I can learn more by listening sometimes than by talking. And, Glenn, this is John, call sign KQ4IMH. I need to go run an errand, too, so I'll be clear on your final.
K4WCL, KQ4IMH. All right, this is KD2BNG. We'll talk at you later then.
4RXN, I wanted to jump in and ask about if anybody knows about where I might be able to get a Kenwood TS820 and 590 repaired.
And those are old rigs too. The place to start might be if you could see if you could email Kenwood. Because they might know. Yeah, I got gear which is kind of acting a bit strange as well. It's I guess one of those things where you just open it up and start poking around.
I've worked with it, cleaned it, and put a tube or two in it, but I'm by far no expert, and I knew one of the guys in the ham clubs around here a good while back. He probably could have worked on it, but never could get to it. I think he's died recently, so I'm not sure who to get to look at it.
Off the top of my head, I would say first thing is make sure everything's within spec. Turn the power off. Go around to all the resistors and capacitors. I don't know if you have a capacity meter and a multimeter. Check that all resistances and all measurements are what they're supposed to be. Yeah, you would need the repair manual because, with the system turned back on, you go to various places to see what all the voltage levels are supposed to be. Yeah, you probably don't have the repair manual either. The service manual will tell you how to do these tests, and give you good step-by-step instructions. Go here and see if it measures this many volts. Go here and see what the resistance is. Stick your screwdriver in the little tuning coils and tune it until you get the maximum value on the meter. Things like that. You probably don't have an oscilloscope either. For Kenwood repair of older rigs, I'd have to say find an older ham, some older guy who works on them.
Anybody out there knows someone that can help me, that would be great. KK4RXN. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt anything.
Nothing, because I think everyone else is QRT at this point. I knew someone, he's a silent key. He was a very, very good, he was a good at diagnosing these things. He also rebuilt automotive engines. He was pretty good at that. The guy was totally blind, so how he did a lot of these things, I don't know. But good electronics diagnostic guy and good automotive machinist guy. Unfortunately, I think he passed on about 2 years ago.